Well, actually, the purpose was threefold. The first one was to evaluate the situation now that the transitional government of national unity of South Sudan has come into function, and to look at now what lies ahead regarding the implementation of the peace agreement. The second, of course, was to illustrate the fact that the United Nations stays strongly committed to tasks that need to be done in South Sudan. We are in New York very committed to support UNMISS, you know, because after all, we are here to help the South Sudanese in making the peace agreement a reality in the country. And finally, I wanted to, I wanted to take stock of the situation regarding the protection of civilians. You know, we still have large numbers of IDPs who are on our bases. And that's why I went to Bentiu and to Malakal to see how things were going, including their interaction with our blue helmets and blue berets.
Your last visit to South Sudan was with the UN Secretary General as Ban Ki-moon. It was in February. The message then was for the quick establishment of the transitional government of national unity, and this was set in April. What are your comments on the implementation process?
The priority is to implement the provisions of the peace agreement and to implement quickly, because what the people no doubt are expecting is what one calls the dividends of peace. They want to see how this peace agreement actually changes their lives in terms of more security, of a better livelihood, you know. So we all know that it can't happen just in a jiffy by waving a magic wand, but I think it is very important that the work gets really kick-started, and in particular that the transitional institutions can be put into place. One in particular, I think, from the point of view of security, one critical is the Joint Integrated Police, and that, I think, has been a subject of an announcement yesterday, and it is clear that police will play a critical role to ensure that law and order prevail in Juba, and it will help give sense of greater confidence to the communities as they interact. So, you know, the fact that the Ministry of Interior gave an order on that on the 24th of May, that the Vice President made a statement on this point yesterday, all that, I think, is very important. And it's only a start, of course, but let me say again very clearly, the United Nations, UNMISS, are closely engaged in supporting all that process, along with all the other international partners of South Sudan, in particular the Joint Mechanism for Evaluation and Cooperation.
Is the United Nations mission in South Sudan facing any challenges in implementing its mandate, and how could they be mitigated?
The setting of the transitional government creates a new situation, and one that we hope will be conducive to convincing the IDPs who are on our peak protection of civilian sites, you know, that it is now safe for them to go back home. It's been interesting that in Bentiu over the last 4 months, no less than 25,000 IDPs have actually returned to their places to actually prepare the next crops, you know, to sow the seeds. And that, I think, is a very encouraging sign, and one we would like to see imitated in other sites. That would be, I think, the best indication that trust is appearing again, you know, and confidence in the future. Of course, it has to happen on a totally voluntary basis. It has to happen in dignity, and we have to see what we can do to monitor the process and possibly continue giving some sense of not abandonment by the UN once they are back into the communities. So we have for that to be more visible in those areas. You know, we have to increase the patrols by the military, by the police, and of course, we have to see that our humanitarian colleagues can actually deliver the aid to the people, not anymore in our camps, but in the villages where the people come from. That is exactly, I think, the goal, and we hope very much that the trend will continue. It supposes also that the government does its part and that it grants us continued access, in particular for the humanitarian actors. This has been an issue for quite a bit of time, but I will take this up with my interlocutors tomorrow, and I trust that we can find common agreement in the need to make it so that this does not happen anymore.
Yeah, you have just returned from a visit to Malakal, and in February we witnessed a conflict at the protection of civilian site, which claimed lives of 25 civilians. What can you say about the situation there today and the ongoing investigations?
Well, first, a lot of work has gone, into ensuring that those civilians who had actually sought refuge in the logistics base are now back to the site dedicated to protection of civilians. It's been a very difficult endeavor, and it has been a difficult endeavor also to strengthen the surroundings of the protection of civilian site. Ensuring that some of the elements that caused the crisis in February are not there. That is to say that the berm is not broken, that the fence is not cut through, and that proper control, proper patrolling can take place. That has been a lot of ongoing work. We also have been engaging with the local authorities and with the community leaders, in the words of the head of the office in Malakal, in order to build bridges, bridges of understanding between these people and us, the international community at large, so that, we can understand what it is that we can do, what it is that we cannot do, what it is that we should do. All this is a very important process. And again, I have to say that the hope is that people will gain trust in the future and will actually make decision to eventually return. On the investigation process, it's true that the Secretary General has established both a board of inquiry to look at the way the mission responded, and also a special investigation to establish the circumstances that led to this event. Both reports are being finalized. They will be submitted to the Secretary General. I cannot say any more at this point, of course.
Yeah, thank you so much. As we conclude our interview, what would be your special message to the people of South Sudan, particularly in regard to the implementation of the peace agreement?
I would say that I am deeply and painfully aware that over the last 2.5 years, the people of South Sudan have probably suffered vastly more than they did at any point during the decades and years of civil war. That cannot be forgotten or just pushed aside. At the same time, I think the prospects now for the implementation of the peace agreements, the setting of the government of transition, all this gives rise to a lot of hope. Hope that the country can recover from this very, very deep crisis it experienced almost after its birth, and that collectively the South Sudanese, with our support, can address all the deep issues that still exist in terms of governance and institution building, in terms of putting together all the elements that could open a bright future for a country which we should not never forget, country that has such a potential. It has immense and fertile land, it has water, it has sunshine, it even has oil. Not so many countries in Africa can boast such a conjugation. So I think we should be really optimistic that things will get together and that the people of South Sudan can embrace again hope. That's what it's about.